please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to, filled or controlled completely with your Spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said, amen. All right, now we're going to take an official survey of all the folks that are listening in today. And I'll be sure to count your vote on this. But I have a survey question. How many of you think that missions and missionaries are important? How many of you think that missions and missionaries are important? If you think that's important, raise your hand right now, and I'll do a real quick count of all those that are listening in. All right, I counted your hands, and it seems like 90% of you think that missions and missionaries are important, and the other 10% probably agree but didn't understand the question or something like that. But, you know, missions and missionaries are very important to God, and therefore they should be very important to us as well. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, first verse we're going to look at today, even though we're going to head to Philippians here in just a moment, continuing our series in the book of Philippians. But in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, this verse is very simple, but this verse is very profound and contains an awful lot of important stuff in it. It says, and he, now that's speaking of Jesus, talking to his disciples, said unto them, and he, Jesus, that is, said unto them, his disciples, let me ask you the question, are we not his disciples today? Now, we're not apostles. We're not apostles. The apostolic line is ended. It was the 12 apostles, if you count Matthias, 13 counting Paul. That's ended. That's over with. There's no apostles today, but we still are his disciples or followers of Jesus. So therefore, this verse says in Mark 16, 15, and he, that is Jesus, said unto them, his disciples, let's take this personal, shall we? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that verse, I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do, but the concept and the principle here is pretty simple and clear. The Lord wants each one of us to go into the world, the whole world, and preach the gospel. Now, you don't have to be a preacher officially called to be a preacher, but you need to be someone who is proclaiming. This speaks simply of someone who is to go into the world and proclaim the gospel. Now, the gospel is what? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And we need to proclaim that to every creature in the whole world. Every human being, if you will, in the whole world. So if that was spoken to his disciples some 2,000 years ago, do you know that responsibility falls to us today? That responsibility that the gospel would be proclaimed to the whole world. So the responsibility is ours. And let's say right now that every one of us ought to be missionaries wherever we are. We ought to be proclaiming the gospel wherever God has placed us. So in the workplace that you're at, we should be proclaiming the gospel. In the school that you might be in, we are called to proclaim the gospel. In the neighborhood that we've been put, we should be proclaiming the gospel, the good news about Jesus and how to be truly born again to the people around us. I've heard it said that we're either missionaries or a mission field. And if we know Jesus, we should be missionaries wherever we're planted. And I know for some people, God calls you to be a missionary to some field other than your home area. And he calls you to do that vocationally, if you will, to perhaps raise support and to go to a mission field. It could be in the United States. It could be somewhere around the world. And if God has called you to do that, by all means, you need to listen and obey that calling to be a missionary around the world, wherever that might be. But you know what? If the responsibility to reach the world belongs to us as His disciples, if we're not called to go and be a missionary somewhere around the world, how can we fulfill this responsibility? We can support those who are going to be missionaries around the world. Today we're talking about, in particular, title of the message, both this morning and tonight, Supporting Missions and Missionaries. Supporting Missions and Missionaries. And we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're almost finished with the book of Philippians. We've gone verse by verse, had a bunch of different messages in this book, this wonderful book, this most personal of all of Paul's letters to the churches. He wrote it to the Philippian church. He was under house arrest in Rome. Not sure if he's going to live, not sure if he's going to die. But many would say that the theme, the overall theme, is joy in this book. And others might say, well, the overall theme is the practical Christian life and how to serve the Lord. Now here, in particular, we're talking about Paul, and Paul is commending the Philippian church. We've kind of hit all around this, talked a little bit about it in particular. But today, supporting missions and missionaries. Now, Paul was a missionary for the Lord. As an apostle, if you look at many of your Bibles, you'll find the missionary journeys of Paul. There were three missionary journeys of Paul where he went around the world telling people about Jesus. He usually got in a whole bunch of trouble for it, got thrown into jail usually and beaten for it, but he kept being faithful to the Lord. And he would many times come back to these churches and make sure that they're doing what they should be doing. But he was a missionary by every measure of that word. He was a missionary or a proclaimer of the gospel to the world. And he's talking to the Philippian church, wrote them a letter about what they had done for him. And I think we can learn a fair amount from these verses in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. I'm going to read those. And then we'll continue and look at supporting missions and missionaries. Paul writes to the Philippian church, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done," he's writing to the church, "that ye did communicate with my affliction." In other words, you ministered to me during my time of affliction. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me or ministered to me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." You're the only church that did that. "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. I had a need, and you sent once, and then you sent again to Thessalonica," that city, "to meet my need. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." You might say, well, who was Epaphroditus? Well, we think he was the pastor of the Philippian church. He's the one that brought the gift to minister to Paul the missionary while he was under house arrest in Rome. He got sick while he was there and almost died. But he said, "I received those things, and they were an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Title of the message this morning and this evening, Supporting Missions and Missionaries. We made the point that Paul was a missionary, and he's writing to this church, this local church, and talking about supporting him as a missionary. Point number one in the message this morning, supporting missions and missionaries brings them joy. Look at verse 10. Paul writing to the church, commending them for sending a gift to minister to him. Now, I don't believe there's anywhere in Scripture we're told exactly what they brought to him. But you can imagine being under house arrest. He couldn't just go out and go to Walmart anytime he wanted to. In fact, he couldn't even tell someone that was there helping him to go to Walmart because there wasn't any Walmarts. But he needed certain things, being under house arrest. And the Philippian church recognized that there was a need. They sent Epaphroditus with this gift to Paul to encourage and to be a blessing to him. Again, point number one, supporting missions and missionaries brings them joy. Paul says in verse 10, but I rejoiced, what? In the Lord. I rejoiced. He might have had a hallelujah fit there while he was under house arrest because he was so excited and joyful because of what the Philippian church had done for him. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now your care of me hath flourished again. It must have been a gift that, boy, just blessed his socks off. It was something that so excited him and made him joyful in the Lord. It says, wherein you were also careful, you cared about me, you wanted to help, but there was just no opportunity. But thank the Lord, I have joy because you have helped me. You know, this church seemed to stick out to Paul. You know, because they were supporting missions and missionaries, Paul in particular, this church seemed to stand out to Paul. He says there, I just read it, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. He says in verse 15, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I was going out from the very beginning, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated or ministered with me as concerning giving or receiving, but ye only. It left an impression upon Paul that the Philippian church really cares about missions and missionaries, and in particular cares about me. Verse 16, it says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So it seems to me the Philippian church was a church that really seemed to care about missions and missionaries and Paul in particular. They were concerned that the gospel reach the whole world. Verse 18, it kind of speaks again of the joy that Paul had having received the gift, the gifts, that is, from the Philippian church. He says, but I have all and abound. I am full. I think Paul was really, really blessed by the gift or gifts that was sent to him while he was under house arrest in Rome. Can I say that being a missionary is tough? Now, in a sense, I've never been a foreign missionary. We've had friends that have been missionaries, went to seminary with, been missionaries. The boys have friends who are missionaries. We've encountered a number of missionaries as they come through and present their ministry at various churches that I've pastored and missionaries that we've supported and reading those prayer letters. I can safely say that being a missionary is tough. Being a missionary is tough. You know, there's some people that are missionaries in areas that when they write their prayer letters, they have to be so careful about what they even say because the areas in which they minister or they're a missionary, they can't even freely say, I'm a missionary for Jesus, because they'll just get thrown in jail right away. Being a missionary is tough. And they have many of the same struggles that we do as preachers in America. They have many of the same things. I'm sure they have people that are faithful and people that are not faithful and people that want to serve the Lord and people that just want to pick and find all fault things. So being a missionary is tough. So anything we can do to help lift their load, put a smile on their face, or encourage them in any way is a joy to them. You see, supporting missions and missionaries bring them joy. We'll talk more about this later, probably in the evening service, but you say, what can we do to support missions that could bring them joy? We could pray for them by name, can't we? We can pray for them by name. We can pray for them specifically in areas where they may share in their prayer letters. We have missionary prayer cards many times. And you know the reason that missionaries put out missionary prayer cards is so we'll remember them. So that we might put their picture on their prayer card on the refrigerator. I've heard of people having a basket full of all the missionary cards. It may be even beyond the ones that their church supports, but maybe ones they know of or they've heard present their ministry, and they'll get a prayer card and they'll put it in there. And every day with their family, they may pull out a missionary card, a prayer card, and say, let's pray for these missionaries today. You know, that's one way to support missions and missionaries. And then you could send them a little text maybe. And just say, hey, you know what? I'm praying for you today. That's one thing that has come about in recent years with the internet. It seems like communication. I'm sure that there's still places around the world that missionaries are isolated. But I think the isolation has somewhat been limited now by all the technology, by the email and the texts and the satellites and all the things in which we can communicate. But if you send them a text, maybe just say, I'm praying for you today. Or maybe I'm praying for this specific request that you shared in your prayer letter or that I know about or this need that you have. You can send them an email. You can send them a Facebook message. You can even send them a snail mail card. Don't you think that would be an encouragement? Don't you think it would bring a missionary joy to hear that someone is praying for them? Supporting missions and missionaries. Number one, supporting missions and missionaries brings them joy. I believe it brought Paul a lot of joy because of the gift that was sent to him from the Philippian church. Number two, supporting missions and missionaries is a good thing. Supporting missions and missionaries is a good thing. You say, where in the world is that at? Look at verse 14. Paul, again writing back to the church, says, notwithstanding, ye have what? Well done that you did communicate with my affliction. You blessed me. You cared about me. And you have well done. I'd say probably, I don't know if we use that well done a whole lot. You know, actually the idea of well done puts in my brain, reminds me of a parable. Remember when the master in the parable says to the good servants, well done, thou good and faithful servant, in Matthew 25. You know, it puts that thought in my brain. And when it says you have well done, in other words, you've done a good thing, Philippian church. You've done a good thing. You know, in a world with so much evil and so much bad, and so much bad news, don't you think it's good to be able to do something good? To do something good? Supporting missions and missionaries is a good thing. I looked this up, but I did remember it from my past. Campbell's Soup. From what I understand, in 1931, they came up with an advertising campaign that went through the 1990s. And they used this, that Campbell's soup is good. And I figure that most of you that are listening in today, you remember that. Campbell's soup is good. Can I say to you that supporting missions and missionaries is good. It's a good thing to do that. The missionaries need to know that they're supported. They need to be blessed. They need to be encouraged. This morning, supporting missions and missionaries. Number one, supporting missions and missionaries brings them joy. You know, we really don't know. I didn't say this on this point in particular, but we don't know how many missionaries may be about ready to give up. They're discouraged. Maybe the field is a very slow field and the harvest is very slow coming in. They may have labored for years and years in a certain mission field and hardly seen any saved. And they're just taking one step at a time. And they're like, you know what? I think I'm just going to quit. But when we support them and we encourage them, they might say, you know what, I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to keep on serving. You know, we don't have any idea how much can be accomplished by encouraging missionaries. Number two, supporting missions and missionaries is a good thing. According to Paul and according to Scripture, it's a good thing. Thirdly, and last for this morning, thirdly, supporting missions and missionaries puts fruit into our heavenly spiritual bank account. Now, we hit this last week when we were talking about that verse in particular in verse 17. It says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, we had a whole message based upon that. We preached that last week on this verse that we can put fruit or treasure into our heavenly bank account. But specifically, again, the context here, this is a principle that can be applied, that we are sending our treasure on ahead of us. But you know what? In particular, it's talking about being a blessing and supporting missions and missionaries. And Paul says, you know, I really am tickled about, I'm slight paraphrase there, what I'm really tickled about is that you're getting fruit put in your account in heaven. Because you're supporting me, a missionary, for the gospel. Supporting missions and missionary puts fruit into our heavenly spiritual bank account. In the way of remembering from last week a little bit, Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. This is the very words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Notice what he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You know, so many Christians, this is a little flashback to last week. So many Christians are spending so much time building up or trying to build up treasures in this world or fruit in this world, whether it be through position or power or through possessions. But it says, you know what? If you know Jesus, don't lay up treasures on this earth. Because all that's going to happen, the moth's going to eat them, the rust's going to rust them, and the thieves are going to steal it. But, it says, as the passage goes on, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You see, nothing's going to mess with that bank account, that spiritual heavenly bank account in heaven. So that's where we as Christians are supposed to be laying our treasure. So many times we've got preoccupied by the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. You know, we need to make sure that we love the Lord so much that we're sending treasure ahead. And one way we do that is by supporting missions and missionaries. And he ends that passage, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, that's a lot of the reasons why we don't see Christians faithful to God. Their heart's not in it. Because they're putting up or building treasures in this world and not treasures in heaven. You know, a great way to deposit that fruit or treasure into your heavenly spiritual bank account, again, is by supporting missions and missionaries. You know, today when we go to deposit something in our bank account, if we've received a check or something, you know, a lot of times it's a direct deposit now. You don't touch it. You don't have to sign it. You don't have to do anything. It goes straight to that account. And that's the way, really, when we're serving the Lord and supporting missions and missionaries, when we're being faithful to God, we're building up that treasure in heaven, and it's like a direct deposit. It's going straight to your heavenly bank account because you're doing it for God. You're doing it for God. Today we've looked at several areas. Supporting missions and missionaries. Again, Paul was the missionary. I hope this is a message that we can think about and we can ponder about a little bit. Today we looked at supporting missions and missionaries. Number one, brings them joy. You know what? God wants us to encourage people that are in the ministry. Ministry is not easy. Again, I'm not a missionary, but I've been a pastor for a good while now. And ministry is not an easy thing to do. And if we can do one little thing to support a missionary, to encourage them, to make their load maybe a little bit lighter, do one little thing to be a blessing to them, it brings them joy. Secondly, we looked at this morning, supporting missions and missionaries. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. You know, there's so many things we can waste our time. You know how many things we do in life are a total waste of time? You know, so many people, they play video games all the time. Man, what a waste of time. Really? I mean, they're probably in moderation. Maybe nothing wrong with some of the good, clean games you might be able to play. But really, we waste so much time. We waste so much time sometimes doing things of this world. But when we support missions and missionaries, that's a good thing. That's a good investment of your time and your effort and your resources. And the third thing we looked at today under supporting missions and missionaries, it puts fruit into our heavenly spiritual bank account. Can I tell you today that missions and missionaries are very important to God? You know, that scientific survey that I took at the beginning, even 90% of you say that missions and missionaries are very important. And if they're very important to God and they're very important to further the gospel of Christ, don't you think it should be important to us? Don't you think it should be important to us? I have a question, two questions for you, actually. Question number one. Are missions and missionaries important to you? Are missions and missionaries important to you? And secondly, do you support missions and missionaries as much as you should? And we'll talk further about that in tonight's sermon as we continue to look at this passage. If you wouldn't mind, bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song here in a moment. And as we do so, if God has spoken to your heart, maybe you just say to the Lord, Lord, help missions to be more important to me. Maybe you say, Lord, help me to support missions and missionaries even more. But let's bow for a word of prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. We thank you for your Bible that we can preach and teach and base our life upon. And Lord, as missions is very important to you, and missionaries are very important to you, Lord, I pray that you'll help that to be very important to us. And Lord, help us to support missions and missionaries even more, Lord, in a variety of ways, Lord, I pray. And Lord, if there's anyone listening into this message who's never trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they're not saved, they're not a Christian. Lord, I pray that wherever they may be, from their heart, I pray that they may just call out to you now for salvation. Lord, they may just call out to you in prayer and say something like this and mean it from the heart. Lord, I'm a sinner. I've done many things against you. Lord, forgive me of all of my sins. I believe Jesus was the Son of God who died upon the cross to pay for my sins. I now confess Jesus as my Savior, as my leader, as the one I will follow in life and commit myself to. And if you just prayed that prayer, meant that from your heart, or will pray that prayer, mean that from your heart, you can be as saved as anybody else. Dear God, as we sing this song, Lord, if you've spoken to anyone's heart, I pray that they may just bow their head wherever they might be. And Lord, just ask you to help them to see missions and missionaries as more important than they are right now in their life. And Lord, to help them support missions and missionaries the way they should. Lord, we love and thank you. Speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name.